We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in to a Friday edition of the Overnight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Will Pelagic here with you as we take you one more hour, getting you ready for the weekend here on a Friday. Telephone number, one more hour to call in, 404-741-0929. The big question we've been asking all night is, who needs the Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? Do the Falcons need to take care of Julio Jones? Would you pay Devonta Freeman? Or would you pay Grady Jarrett? Or would you pay Vic Beasley? All those on the table, not only at the 404-741-0929 phone number, but also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll read some of those texts here for you coming up. We're going to talk in about 17 minutes' time with Deshaun Tate, our Sports Radio 92.9 The Game NBA analyst. And if you're saying, Will, you talked to him last night, yes, we did, but the big story of the evening completely changes the perception of the National Basketball Association and continues the fluctuation of the balance of power that exists right now in the NBA. As we've talked about how the league has shifted from these big three teams, these super teams, and while they used to march in triumvirates, they're now marching two by two, and the latest twosome to unite is actually a reuniting of forces that was once a big three and now will be a duo, as Russell Westbrook will re-team up with James Harden in Houston to be the new backcourt of the Houston Rockets. When we saw the rumors for this earlier this week, I didn't know how this was going to work. I didn't think it was a potential situation that had a lot of, number one, staying power, and number two, a lot of intrigue. But more of the reporting has come out from both Shams and Woj that basically made it sound like this was exactly what Russ wanted. And quite honestly, if a trade's going to go down from this perspective, you'd have to think it was highly desirable from Russ Westbrook. Of course, the Thunder will get a pair of first-round picks in 24 and 26. They'll also swap picks, the two teams will, in 21 and 25 in the trade that sends Chris Paul to OKC, where ironically he actually began his career with another franchise, the Oklahoma City / New Orleans Hornets. Of course, then they went back to play full-time in New Orleans. Then, of course, that franchise became the Pelicans, and the Bobcats changed the name back to the Hornets, as they should have. But I just don't know, despite knowing that James Harden is probably a better off-ball guard than Russell Westbrook is, and that Harden is better off the ball than he is on the ball, I just don't know how that's going to work. It doesn't strike the form from what Daryl Morey brings, the fact that he wants everything either close to the rim or from the three-point line. Granted, that could open up a lot of James Harden's three-point arsenal because of the driving ability of Westbrook. But I just don't know how that whole thing works. I really don't. Of course, now the chatter is that Miami might be the next landing spot for Paul, who is still owed more than $100 million on his last 3 years of his contract, a contract that probably is not going to be paid out by Oklahoma City. And because of that, I don't think that there is a lot of an appetite to keep him around, and there could obviously be a shedding of some picks to try and get another team to take on that salary if that team is Miami. I personally wouldn't mind if the Hawks and Travis Schlenk kick the tires on CP3 for at least an opportunity to see if that could be something that works with Chris Paul in an off-ball scenario with him and Trae Young in the backcourt. Chris Paul, Trae Young, Hunter, John Collins, some sort of other scenario there. I personally wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know if it's feasible, because I don't think that Atlanta would want that salary. I don't think they'd want to give up the kind of assets that they'd have to give up in order to make that happen, because they've been building for the future. They've been building for the future. I know everybody says that it's too soon, but I just, there's a part of me that while Atlanta made its moves during the draft and really became the envy of everybody in the NBA with the way that they've constructed their rebuild, there's part of me that wants them to kind of get in on this free agent party, or at least this superstar acquisition party business. But of course, it seems like they will probably stand their ground. And again, Miami, who I've been trashing over the course of the first couple of weeks and the first couple of days of this free agency, because Jimmy Butler hated Philadelphia so much that he decided, I want to go to South Beach and be part of the Over the Hill gang over there between he and Udonis Haslam. Yet all of a sudden now, if they get CP3 and Jimmy Butler, then they are at least back in the conversation somewhat in a wide-open Eastern Conference. I don't know if they're in the conversation to win it, but that definitely gives them at least a playoff berth. Don't know if it leaves them a chance to win a title. And we'll talk to DeShaun Tate about the potential implications about that. And also, if you missed his conversation with us, the observations he had about the Hawks in the NBA Summer League, which ended, of course, earlier last night with a 76-71 loss to the Washington Wizards. He had a chance to see DeAndre Hunter up close and personal. We'll ask him his observations on that and also what he thinks about the upcoming season with the newly reconstructed Atlanta squad. Of course, the tweets have now come out. We saw Tillman Fertitta say that we're excited to have Russell Westbrook. I would watch him play for Oklahoma City, and he's so athletic. At the same time, this franchise had just 2 years with the most wins ever in consecutive years. He wouldn't have done that without Chris Paul. He's unbelievable, and he's going to be sadly missed. I don't know if you're going to be that sad, Tillman. If Russ brings you a title, I don't think you'll be that sad. Of course, this funny thing is, ironically, as somebody who's lived in Houston before, Houston fans loved to bash Russell Westbrook, and now they're going to be forced to love him. So there might be some deleting of social media accounts amongst people in Houston. People are frantic on that. By the way, who was like me earlier this afternoon? Do you know how you know you're an addict of something? When you get anxiety when they can't have that thing. Twitter was down for about an hour this afternoon, and then about 15 to 30, 20 minutes later this evening, I was freaking out. I was freaking out. Apparently there was some sort of glitch. Some people were blaming the fact that there was that social media convention involving the president. I'm not going to get into that. But, I mean, to me, earlier today, like, I took a nap. I basically had to take a nap. I couldn't function. I had to take a nap. I was like, you know what? I can't not have the Twitter. I just felt so unplugged, so anxious. It made me go ballistic. 404-741-0929. So we'll get into that. Again, we've been talking a lot about the Atlanta Falcons and the upcoming season. Of course, we're more than a week away to Flowery Branch, and the team has a lot of decisions that are on their table. Of course, by Monday, they have to make a decision on Grady Jarrett. $15.2 million on the franchise tag, whether that happens. We had our Jarvis Davis on earlier in the program. He says that he doesn't think that that's likely to come across. There's, of course, Devonta Freeman, who, when you think about where his contract is, he has two more guaranteed years, an opt-out after 2020. I don't think he's getting a third contract. It'd be smart to play out the rest of this deal, which lasts a couple more years after that. But in my mind, I don't know if there is enough there for him that can get him a third contract, maybe a restructured contract with more upfront money, that at least makes sense for the Falcons, given all they have to take care of. And, oh, by the way, you have Julio Jones telling us from TMZ the other day, by the way, my extension is coming. Arthur Blank said so. And even if we go into camp and Julio is not re-upped, with another couple of years left on his contract, he'll make obviously a boatload this year, a little bit less next year. I still believe that there's at least some ability that you can see a lot more come from this organization in a restructured fashion in order to make that deal make more sense for at least the Falcons over the course of the next couple of days and the next couple of years, because obviously they need him probably about as much as they need Matt Ryan at this point. 404-741-0929. Before we get to Deshaun Tate, we'll try to squeeze in T, who's calling from McDonough. And T, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, T?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I know you know, if you don't mind, can I backtrack on you for a little bit and ask you a college football question?
You can do whatever you'd like, T.
Okay, hey, okay. I'm a diehard Alabama fan, born and raised.
Mm.
Okay, now I heard you talking. You said that you saw the barrier and that Nick Saban, well, the downfall might be because Alabama has changed the coordinators so many times.
I think that there has to be a diminishing level of returns on the fact that this is the third year in a row they're going to go in with two brand-new coordinators. There has to be a diminishing level of return on that.
Okay. I want to ask you this then, okay? Now, Nick Saban has, throughout his career, has had a lot of turnover as far as coaches and players.
You're not wrong.
Okay, but Kirby Smart, now, if I'm not mistaken, Georgia has a new offensive coordinator, right?
They do.
Okay, so don't you think that's going to affect Kirby more than it's going to affect Nick? Because Nick has been through it, so he knows how to respond and react from it. And honestly, I think Nick is the best. So don't you think that's going to affect Kirby more than it affect Nick?
I think it won't, because I do believe that you have more established pieces on Georgia's side. They had to replace a lot on the Alabama team, don't forget. So I know the two is still there, but you had to replace a lot on the offensive side of the football. I think that, you know, there's still a lot that's left over from the offense, and the fact is you have a quarterback in Fromm who's going into his third year as a starter. I think that part of it negates any change that would come about when it comes to Kirby. But again, it's a good point. I just do believe that the original point that I brought up still stands. It has to come this year for Georgia. If it doesn't come this year, I don't know when it's coming. That's my only issue. We'll continue with the chatter with our friend Deshaun Tate, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, NBA reporter, on the big trade that shook the basketball world this evening. Westbrook going to Houston, Chris Paul going to Oklahoma City, and what this all means for the Atlanta Hawks, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, and I tell you what, the NBA world completely transfixed with the big trade that comes out tonight. Of course, the swap of Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook to Houston, and Houston giving back Chris Paul and a pair of picks, and of course, a couple of pick swaps as well. And no better to talk about it with us than our Deshaun Tate, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Deshaun, just fresh off your reaction, what did you think when you saw this deal pop out?
You know, I've talked to you guys many a times on different shows about how things don't surprise me. This kind of doesn't surprise me again like it would most, because of the era, because of the generation, all of those things. However, you know, we also talked a few weeks ago, me, you, Hot Take Tommy, about the biggest winners and losers of free agency. And remember, we were having a discussion about, outside of the Knicks, who is the biggest free agency loser. I said that was the Houston Rockets, because it seemed like nobody wanted to go and play for them. Well, that clearly has changed a lot. Thing that happened, it's just crazy to think about how strong the West is going to be and how much Houston can really contend.
Now my big question, how is this going to work between Westbrook and Harden? I know that apparently, according to Woj, this was the preferred destination of Russ, but in my mind, that's going to take commitment. I think probably Harden's going to have to spend more time off the ball than he has over the last couple of seasons. And like I said to you before, I don't see them changing the rule to allow two basketballs to be played in the NBA.
Yeah, no, I don't see that either. And it's crazy just to kind of, you know, think about these things because there's, first of all, there's no pure or natural point guard, you know, and will that be proposed as a problem? Now, I know that the position is not exactly extinct or non-existent as more guys have become like combo guards just placed in the point guard position role. It is becoming more of a wings league. The closest thing that you have to that is someone like an Austin Rivers who will obviously be coming off the bench for them. But I think that the bigger question, at least to me, is outside of how they're going to make that work from a chemistry standpoint, is Mike D'Antoni's system, the way he runs it, his philosophy. I don't think it works because it's clearly all offensive ball and it's not defensive ball. And I think you're getting the exact same thing that we saw the year before last when the Houston Rockets were up against it and they had to make shots down the stretch against the Golden State Warriors and they missed 27 straight three-pointers in a row. They can't afford to go on another slump like that, and I feel like they're really not eliminating their problem by picking up a guy like a Russell Westbrook in this situation.
Of course, DeShaun Tate joining us here, our NBA analyst. Of course, now the question is, what does this mean for Oklahoma City? I have a hard time thinking that they're going to want to pick up the $47 million on Chris Paul's contract. They've already acquired 8 picks in this offseason for the future. Of course, they're trying to get as much tradable assets and future assets to try and rebuild this team as possible. Does Paul stay in Oklahoma City? And if he does not, do you think the Hawks are an option either in the offseason or somewhere during the 2019-20 regular season?
Now, I'll be honest, that's a really good question. I don't realistically see Chris Paul becoming an Atlanta Hawk in the foreseeable future just because I believe that he is on the tail end of his career. Obviously, he's a vet in this league, and while he is one of the very few and far in between natural and pure point guards in this league, he also wants the ring. And I've always kind of had the feeling or under the impression, same as I did Carmelo Anthony, that these are going to be really good players in the NBA on the professional level, but never going to end up winning rings. If we're talking about him wanting to go somewhere where he can win a ring, then I think that we could be certainly counting out the Atlanta Hawks. As much as I really hate, that's probably not the most popular thing to say here in this city, but realistically, looking at, you know, the way that everything is shaping up, I don't see it happening. Now, when you talk about what it means for a team like OKC, I mean, we may not find out, we likely won't find out how much this really benefits them until a handful of years down the road, talking maybe like the 21-22 season at the very earliest, considering the swaps. When you start going back and talking about this this Houston Rockets team, and one of my questions is, you talk about throwing two balls out there on the court, what about three balls? Because I know that Eric Gordon is going to want to, you know, have his shots too. He's a huge component of this team as well, especially from a scoring standpoint. You better believe that guys like Clint Capella, Kenneth Faried, and Nene is going to be making their money rebounding for both James Harden and Russell Westbrook quite a bit. And that's not to mention the other guys on the floor that's going to be doing jumping jacks over in the corner yelling, hey, give me the ball.
Of course, DeShaun Tate spent some time in Las Vegas for us, checking out the NBA Summer League, getting a chance to see some of the Hawks up close and personal. First look at DeAndre Hunter. I know he only played one game while you were out there, DeShaun, but well, what were your impressions of the Hawks, Hunter, Bruno Fernando, and the like as you got to see them up in Vegas?
Well, let me say this first. It is the Summer League, and so, you know, Summer League for me doesn't typically hold a whole lot of weight. I think some people get carried away with it a little bit too much. However, you do have a lot of competitive basketball. Maybe not the fanciest brand, but you have a good competitive. It wasn't a very intriguing roster that the Hawks put together to begin with, but for what they were working with, I really felt like the guys went out there and they put some things together, at least made an attempt to try to get some work done, you know, bring some production and some consistency. In terms of DeAndre Hunter, you know, for a guy who didn't have much opportunity to practice at all with the team or anything like that, I mean, there was some there's going to be some mistakes made. All of the guys out there participating in Summer League is making mistakes. But, you know, he's one of those guys that has the approach to the game, and I'm not saying that he's going to beat these guys, but his approach to the game in terms of ways that I don't think that he really is going to show a whole lot of, you know, he's not the overly passionate guy that you can see in his game, kind of like a Tim Duncan, a Kawhi Leonard, those type of guys who maybe don't show a lot of emotion. But I do like the way that he will be able to defend multiple positions, play multiple positions on the offensive side of the ball as well. He'll get a lot stronger, and he's a very, very smart guy in terms of high IQ. So, you know, with his length and athletic ability, athleticism, all those things packaged up together, give him a year or two, granted, he'll be ready to roll, if not sooner.
You know, Fernando looks to me like an old school big, almost kind of like a hybrid of the old school and the new school. How far away do you think he is to being an NBA contributor?
I don't think he's far away. I think he's going to contribute, not only contribute for the Hawks this year, but I think he's going to contribute well. And I think a lot of the things, I know Omari Spellman's not on the team anymore, and this isn't a diss to him, and I don't want this to be like, oh, well, Omari's not the guy that's going to be the bulldog for this team, so next guy up. How about, you know, Bruno Fernando? I think that that's just naturally how Bruno is built because of his size. And he, while he's not maybe not the athletic guy, you know, he is certainly has that pit bull, that bulldog type of mentality where he doesn't mind getting aggressive and getting his hands dirty and those things, mixing it up. He'll rebound hard. He'll be willing to block some shots. I think he can work on his timing a little bit, but so can every other darn near seven-footer. You know, so from that standpoint, a lot of his baskets are really going to come from Trae Young penetrating, throwing alley-oop lobs, a lot of the stuff that you've seen with John Collins last year. And a lot of attention will be given to John Collins after the year that he had last year. So I think Fernando's going to get in there. He's going to block some shots. He's going to rebound. He's going to be willing to do all the dirty work. I think for him, his main thing that he needs to work on is make sure that he's prepared for Trae Young's elusiveness and IQ at throwing those alley-oops and grabbing rebounds and getting to the center of the court, getting the ball to the center of the court on outlet passes for the point guard and running the floor hard. Be a rim runner all the way to the other end. Try and beat those wings down the floor.
Deshaun Tate, basketball analyst here on 92.9 The Game, telling us about what's going on with the Hawks in Summer League. How surprised were you that they punted on Spellman? And I know that it seems like they still have a roster spot available. There's been talk about Omari. There's been talk, obviously, about Vince Carter. What do you think happens with that?
You know, I'm not sure. I think just in case, that's why they brought in a couple of the other guys who I know have some upcoming expiring contracts and things of that nature. Guys that have played on and been at least involved in competitive, potentially a playoff contending type of team. It's going to be collectively as a unit. That's where the Evan Turners come into play. Guys that have been in multiple locker rooms and working towards being veterans in this league. The Jabari Parkers, the Chandler Parsons, all of these guys. It'll be great if Vince comes back. Would love to have him back. But just in case he doesn't, I mean, hey, who's to say that Chandler Parsons may not, you know, come back and have a better, you know, look at least like half the player that he did the last time we saw him look productive in the NBA, which I think was with the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, I think that what they're doing, trust me, I trust Travis Schlink with what he's doing right now. He hasn't given any of us a reason not to believe that what he's putting together is something good. And the Atlanta Hawks, trust me when I tell you, we know the buzz going on around the city here in Atlanta. It has overflowed into the league. People were excited about it on Las Vegas. Yes, we know the Clippers and the Nets and the Lakers and all of them are putting together really good teams. When you start talking about teams that are youthful, got energy, and can make a huge impact, people are certainly talking about the Atlanta Hawks, that's for sure.
Yeah, they've drawn the envy, and I've used the line, they've drawn the envy of the league when it comes to their rebuild. And that's it's interesting to kind of juxtapose what they've done along with these other teams that are the en vogue teams that have made these 2x2 hookups, you know, the Kawhi, PG, and obviously Kyrie and KD. How do you feel about what they're doing versus what some of these other teams are doing with the superstars and the fact that their build is almost a more organic one, whereas they're trying to get, you know, the instant sell, the instant gratification with the Clippers and Nets and others?
I think that what they're doing, you know what, I like it because everyone else is building up through free agency. And I don't think that that's the direction as we've been seeing since Travis Schlink became the general manager for the Hawks. That's not the direction that they want to go, at least not yet. I think that may change or likely will change next year, certainly within the next 2 years by the time that rolls around. But I love the way that they're doing it because they're building within, again, There's been so many different comparisons from the Atlanta Hawks since Travis Schlink got over here all the way up to the Golden State Warriors, where he had a lot of success as the assistant GM over there in the Bay Area. I really believe that he wants to build it up to be in the same or at least close to being identical as possible. And when you start looking at the players that are on this team and the similarities, I even talked about, you know, when you bring in Bruno Fernando over. A lot of people don't remember the early years of the Golden State Warriors before they started winning their first championship. Festus Ezeli from Vanderbilt came in as a rookie and gave a lot of good production for that Golden State Warriors team. I think that Bruno Fernando is that, or even potentially has a, more of an upside, better ceiling than he does. I love what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. I absolutely love it.
Hearing stuff all over the place here on 92.9 The Game and as well as 92.9thegame.com. Great stuff in Vegas, man. Loved chatting as always with you, and we'll catch up soon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Willie P. At Take Sports on the Twitter. TATESTAKE Sports. You can't spell sports. I can't help you out much there. Thanks, Willie P.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Willie P. back here with you inside the Kia Studios. Last chance to dance with me, 404-741-0929. Also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We did get a call earlier about my conversation with Peter Burns and my chatter about the Alabama-Georgia battle that might ensue this year and why I think Alabama barrier to a potential return of the college football playoff and the SEC championship could be in its continued turnover in coordinators. Look, and I appreciate T for the phone call, and I didn't get a chance to really answer fully just because we were up against the break. But think about who Alabama's offensive coordinator is right now. Falcons fans know. Steve Sarkisian. And, of course, Steve Sarkisian, his time at Alabama as an offensive coordinator lasted one game. We all know what happened in that game. Hunter Renfrow caught a touchdown pass, and Alabama won the national champion, or Clemson won the national championship that year. And then he went to go be the offensive coordinator here in Atlanta, and well, we all know what happened now. So, from that perspective, I'm not completely sold on the fact that Sark is going to bring some sort of magic elixir to the Alabama offense. I like the fact that Georgia's promotion of James Coley to the offensive coordinator position represents some continuity. And the issue with Sarkisian is, again, the one thing that I've been saying about Alabama's offense is that they're basically using the same files that Lane Kiffin used when that offense was completely remade and redone before Kiffin, of course, left to go be the head coach at FAU. But here's the problem. It's not Lane Kiffin running that offense. So, in my mind, I still think that there's at least more of a tough curve there when you're thinking about exactly how this is going to work out with the re-upping of Sarkisian as the new offensive coordinator. And in my mind, I just think that, and again, people have been trying to get away with predicting the demise of Alabama over the last couple of years and have been burned by doing it. And I'm not saying that it's 100% coming, but I'm saying it has to come sometime. And if it happens, this is going to be the downfall of it. You keep playing with fire as much as you do with their coordinators and position coaches, and keep thinking that it's going to, you know, you just plug anybody in there to call plays. Eventually, that has to run out. The talent pool has to run out. And like I said before, I think this is Georgia's best year to at least challenge for the title in the SEC. And then, of course, beyond that, possibly a shot at not only the college football playoff, but a national championship. And again, if it doesn't happen this year, I don't know when it's going to happen for a Georgia fan. But that, again, is part of our conversation earlier that we had with Peter Burns. And, of course, from that, from the SEC Network, you can find that on the podcast in Hour 2 at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's podcast section, 92.9thegame.com. We get baseball back tomorrow. Braves back in action. They are out west to take on the San Diego Padres. Dallas Keuchel will start the second half for Atlanta. It'll be Keuchel, Teron, Soroka, followed by Wilson, and then Max Fried. He will be the fifth starter coming out of the break. They will go back to Keuchel for the final game of the three-game set in Milwaukee before the all-important four-game set beginning Thursday at SunTrust Park against the Washington Nationals, which will probably go a long way to determining just how not only do the Braves look going into the deadline, what moves they might make, but also how this division will shape up. Because in my mind, the entire city wants a bullpen arm. I just don't believe that's the best course of action, especially if you're talking about giving up future assets. If you're telling me you're going to give up Ender Inciarte and Charlie Culberson to get a bullpen arm, that's fine. But I think any of those teams that is holding a player of that ilk is going to want to demand a piece of Atlanta's future. We talked earlier this week with Joe Patrick, of course, our sports radio 92.9 The Game Braves insider. I asked him to give me, if there's a player on another roster that he wants on the Braves to be added for the 2019 second half, he gave me a pair that he would want to possibly join Atlanta at the trade deadline.
I'm going to say two. I'm going to go two. They're both in the same position. They're both closers. You have Will Smith from the Giants, who is a guy who has been, you know, potentially kind of, you know, touted to go to the Braves, potentially in a trade. Even I've seen, you know, rumors of Will Smith and Madison Bumgarner going together to the Braves. That could be a possibility, but it seems like a stretch to me. Another guy is Shane Green out of Detroit. When you look at these two teams, the Giants and the Tigers, both of these teams are out of it. Good closers with good experience in that position. I think it would just really bolster the bullpen in the way that it needs.
But here's the issue, is that what Atlanta is willing to part with, in my mind, they're going to have to part with something sizable. Whether it's, you know, a starter who has control, whether it's a part of that bench that could be a part of the 2019 postseason run, or something, heaven forbid, that's a part of their future that they don't want to give up. If you're going to give up something, you have to give up something, in my mind, that is a starting pitcher. Like, if you can tell me that you can get Madison Bumgarner for one of the Braves blue chippers, I'm more inclined to make that deal than I am for a closer. Because I don't want to shake up Luke Jackson, because here's the problem. If you get so worried about getting to a closer, or if you get so worried about acquiring a closer, and you mess with Luke Jackson's psyche, and you think Jackson's going to be your setup man, guess what? He ain't going to be happy in that setup role, and I don't think he's going to be happy in that setup role. So because of that, in my mind, you're probably more suited to keeping him in that role. If you want a specialist out of the bullpen, and you make a minor move, you go get that. But if you're going to make a sizable move, it needs to be, I think, a starting pitcher. I think you're okay on bats. If you can get a veteran bat that can be somebody off the bench, I wouldn't mind that. But I'm not in the go get a closer camp. I'm just not. I never have been. In my mind, I don't have that utter desire, because again, it's not like you can tell me, it's not like you're going to sit here and tell me that you're going and getting Aroldis Chapman. Both Green and Will Smith are volatile guys. Smith, a converted starter, started his career in Kansas City. He's a volatile guy, left-hander. I know you need probably wouldn't mind another left-hander. Point was made the other night by somebody on the text line that Darren O'Day is coming back, so he can serve as somebody who acts like a trade acquisition at the deadline, because he's going to be coming back from injury. You could force a guy like a Gausman or a Fulton Nevich, who obviously is still coming back from injury and ineffectiveness, force one of those guys to maybe be a bullpen arm. Maybe Bryce Wilson could be a bullpen arm if the starting redo for him doesn't necessarily work. I mean, that's the thing. You have arms. You have viable arms that you can convert into that bullpen role. You can piece together 6, 7, and 8 to get to 9. Or 7 and 8 to get to 9 at least. But I'm more worried about the first 6 or 7 than I am, because that in my mind is the thing that you need, the most important thing. Because if you can't get length out of your starting pitching once October hits, then you're putting yourself in a series behind the eight ball from the bullpen, and you're not worried about getting to a closer. You're worried about just getting to the finish line. And that is obviously something that the Braves do not want to find themselves in when it comes to October. I still think they need to make a move, because I think Dodgers are the unquestioned best team in this National League, and I think that there's a move that they're still going to make. So because of that, they need to react, or they need to act and not react. So I think that they need to get that stuff straightened out so that the Dodgers are the ones that are reacting and not them. We'll close up shop and tell you what was left on the cutting room floor when we come back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Special kudos to our guy Jarvis Davis for joining us in studio. Also, Peter Burns of the SEC Network for doing the same. Also joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, as well as Deshaun Tate for a very nice extended conversation about the big news of the day, which involved Russell Westbrook going to Houston, Chris Paul going to Oklahoma City, and possibly ticketed elsewhere. Many believe, of course, that Miami is the next step for him, but still remains to be seen, because as we've come to realize over the course of this offseason, there are no real certainties when it comes to NBA free agency and NBA trading and NBA player movement. Probably the craziest offseason we've seen in the NBA in quite some time. A lot of great discussion on the who needs the Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan. Just a simple answer. I think Matt Ryan's better than Cam Newton and will have better numbers than Cam Newton by the end of his career. I think that Newton would need a Super Bowl more than Ryan will to validate his legacy. I think if neither appears in Super Bowl for the rest of their career, I still think Ryan's better. But many, of course, here seem to still believe that Ryan is the source of all ill, and he's never going to be somebody, apparently, here that's fully appreciated. I really don't know why, but that is why we have these discussions as they were. Enjoy your happy Friday as we continue here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Amy Lawrence is up next on the CBS Sports Network. I am back on the air with you 6 a.m. Saturday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. I'll be doing the early morning shift. Our thanks to Siobhan Fraser, nicely produced as always. And we will talk to you again on Saturday. Of course, a full day of shows all this upcoming Friday. John and Hugh will take you in starting at 6 later on this morning. And also getting you ready for SEC Media Days next week with Andy and Randy getting themselves over to Hoover. It should be a lot of fun between those two as they get ready to depart there for that. Should be a lot of fun as we get ready for the college football season, which is less than 50 days away, and training camp almost a week away. Till Saturday, see ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.